Welcome to another exciting episode of Bizom's podcast, Masters of Change. I am Abdullah Khalid, your host for today. And today, we are in conversation with Abby Zakaria from the ONDC team. So Abby has been associated with ONDC from the very initial days. And currently, he is working as a part of the network expansion team. So we thought we'll just get a hold of him today and talk about ONDC, how is it shaping out. And so let's just unbundle our conversation for today. So Abby, before moving on to ONDC, before we talk about ONDC, what I wanted to know from you, and this is something what I wanted to ask from a very long time, and that's like very important for me. So how are you?
Oh my god, I thought there was some crazy question coming. Okay, so I mean, thanks for asking that. Great, I feel good, you know, and keeping quite busy with what we are doing at ONDC and quite excited about what's happening there right now. Also glad to be here. Because you know, Bizom has been a good valued partner for ONDC as a 7MP network participant, and I know Bizom from so many years. So, and I'm glad that you are also joining the network. You're pushing the what we are trying to achieve at ONDC. Thanks.
Yeah, just to continue my introduction for Abby. So Abby for us is like all things ONDC. So whenever we face any challenge, any concerns, we have any query, we kind of reach out to Abby, and he has been so helpful all throughout. And in today's podcast also, he said yes when I asked him. So glad you're here, Abby.
Thanks for the kind words.
So Abby, before we talk about ONDC, I want to understand from you about the idea of ONDC. How did the idea of ONDC come? Where did it come from? What was the initial seed of the idea? If you can highlight that for us.
So, let me put it this way. We have been seeing internet change the way we live, right? So we live, we operate, the business we do, everything is changing because of the net. And in the first phase, you saw things like ticketing going digital. So first phase, it would have been all digital products, right? You have got ticketing of travels, airlines, railways, everything which got digitized. What thereafter we saw is that products getting sold online, and the traditional way of selling through brick and mortar changing more and more towards online sales. And that largely has been driven by well-capitalized companies. There are a few companies, they have their own rules, etc. and all of that, right? So somewhere down the line, DPIIT, under the leadership of Mr. Anil Agarwal, partnered of sorts with Beckin Protocol, which was building an open network protocol for mobility, which was further extended to commerce. And that led to the creation of ONDC, which is a Section 8 not-for-profit company. I think that's an important point, because it is a not-for-profit company. It is backed by various investors like banks, etc. And its objective is not to profit for itself, right? It has to run on a self-sustaining basis, etc. over time. But currently, it has not got any profit motive as such, right? So it's a not-for-profit company which was formed with the objective of democratizing commerce. So using Beckin Protocol, ONDC has created a layer of protocols on top of it, you can say, and that enables various participants of the market, whether it's seller or the buyer, marketplaces, etc., to create an ecosystem to enable commerce digital. So that's what it is.
While you were talking, so I recently have seen this campaign that ONDC is running, that ONDC Se Bharat Khulega.
Absolutely.
And your answer kind of resonated completely with that. So yeah, talking further on it, you mentioned that currently there are traditional e-commerce systems in place, traditional digital commerce systems in place. So want to dig deeper on it. So what is ONDC and how it will change or how it will impact the current e-commerce systems? What's different in ONDC than the current e-commerce systems that are already in place?
So ONDC is a very inclusive system. It's not excluding anything. One of the best thing that could happen to ONDC, and we keep endeavoring on that in that direction, is to even get the existing players to be on the network. So it's an open network, everybody can participate. Existing as well as new players can participate, right? So the main difference from what I would say from the traditional e-commerce as you see it, and what say ONDC is bringing to the table is that it is open, it is not, it's got commercials which are acceptable to the sellers. For instance, the commission structure in some of the platforms could be high, right? So here, because of the competition, the commissions have bring do come down, right? That is one very important aspect of it, and it enables sellers to sell it on their own terms. So right now, if you have to go and sell on a particular platform, you'll have to log into that platform, list yourself there, get yourself accredited, then you know, figure out all the all the modus operandi of getting your buy button there, whatever you call it, and then only you can do. And then in the process, you also have to give a certain commission, etc. And there are specialized sellers who have come up there who are able to get that land share and etc. But for a local retailer, it's not possible. So how do you get that happening is what is different in our system, right? So that's in retail, I'm largely alluding to that. That's one very key difference. And you as a seller can have more control on where you want to sell, on what terms you want to sell. So you can say, hey, you know what, I don't want to sell it, say 30% commission, I am okay with 10%. So then you respond only to buyers who are asking for a 10% commission, right? So that kind of stuff is possible. So fundamentally, you know, if I were to sum it up, it is based on two key principles of ONDC, which is unbundling and interoperability, right? So ONDC essentially gives the protocols which enable various parties to communicate with each other and transact with each other. So that enables all sorts of buyer apps to be on the network, and a seller can go on a single seller and be available on all the buyer apps. So that's where it is going.
Okay, great. So if we talk about ONDC, so I believe that ONDC has been into existence for the last 2 years now, if I'm not wrong.
I mean, yeah, 2 years, but operationally you can say about a little over a year and a half times max. The first transaction would have happened towards the end of 2022 times.
So how was the journey like in the last 2 years, if I talk about for ONDC? How was the journey? What we have learned? Or if you can just briefly talk about the journey that you have seen or ONDC as a network have seen.
So I remember the early days where, you know, then I was involved more from the logistics side of it, and I was still not inside ONDC, so to say. But I remember when the first transaction happened, it was people gathering in a room, and you know, there was one seller app, one buyer app, one logistics player. And the first step was just to say that, hey, you know what, the protocol works. So first stage was always the protocol, the very basic 1.1 version, which was there until some time back, it was really in vogue. Now we have got the 1.2, which is far more robust. So the protocol development is one part of it. The other part is we have seen how more and more people have come on board. Like it was first Paytm, Pincode, Magic Pin. Now we have, you know, Ola, No Brokerhood, and multiple others in terms of the buyer apps, right? And newer use cases coming through also. At the same time, we have got, you know, thousands and lakhs of merchants now today online, right? And see, this is retail plus your mobility also. In mobility, we have seen success stories like Namayatri, and we are also seeing now that, you know, the metro rails are coming on board. So that truly will enable interoperability. So over the last 2 years, and there's a tremendous support coming from the ecosystem, and brands want to be on board. Brands want their retailers to be on board. So everybody is now putting their weight behind making the system a success, which is what I'm seeing as a big wave.
So Abhi, in your last answer, you talked about different players coming onto ONDC, exploring the open network, and being a network participant ourselves in the B2C and the B2B space. We have witnessed this, that the open network ONDC is kind of evolving over a period of time. What we thought of ONDC initially, that has kind of evolved a lot. It has improved a lot, developed a lot. We have seen that change happening. We have seen that value addition, be it from a brand perspective or a retailer perspective, or from any perspective, from a network participant's point of view, whoever is a part of the ONDC ecosystem. So on that note, we wanted to kind of understand from you, what is the broader scope of ONDC that we are looking at currently? B2C, B2B, we know for sure, but wanted to understand from you how it will turn out or how it will pan out when we talk or when we talk about services, be it financial services or any other services of sort. So what's the broader scope we are looking at currently?
So currently we have, say, what we call as retail, right, which includes things like grocery, food, BPC, fashion, etc. That's one segment, right? So the retail itself is one segment. Then you have mobility, where you have your MARP and taxi booking, etc. Then you have your airline bookings or hotel bookings and bus ticketing, for instance. Those are coming in the mobility side of it. There is also financial services. The first credit transaction has happened on ONDC. There is also international trade, which has come. The first golden transaction, as we call it, has happened on that. A bunch of other things are in the works. So the anything in commerce can be covered under an open protocol, right? So current focus would be, say, retail, credit, financial services, insurance, mobility. These are the ones which are right now doing quite well and picking up, but there are others. It is all a matter of what is picked up and what gets ramped up, and more we expect industry to participate. And, you know, for instance, I remember that the bus protocol was actually built with the help of industry. The industry came forward and said, here's the protocol, and then it was finalized, right? So more of that has to happen. And I think as things evolve, you'll find more, you know, interesting use cases where multiple things can be combined. For instance, retail could be combined with, say, finance, right? So you could potentially sell a mobile phone on the retail protocol, and the finance protocol can actually allow the credit to happen. Or for that matter, you could have a B2B protocol linked to a B2C protocol, resulting in a B2B2C kind of an approach. So these are unlocking which will happen as we go forward.
Abhi, as we move ahead in this podcast, I would like to ask you another very important question. Would you like to have some tea or coffee? We'll order it from ONDC. We have an option now.
Sure.
So yeah. Yeah. But yeah, jokes apart, taking this point only, so if I talk about from a consumer point of view, what we have still seen, like we have seen a lot of improvement over the last 2 years. We have seen a lot of demand gen happening, consumer awareness happening over the last 2 years. But still, a lot of people don't know about ONDC. If I completely talk about from a consumer point of view. So still, there is not a lot of awareness that's happening from a consumer point of view. So I would like to understand from you that who will be leading this consumer awareness part from the forefront? Will it be the ONDC team who will be leading it from the forefront? Will it be the buyer applications, or will be a role, there will be some role of a seller application that is involved? So I want to understand from you how we are looking at this consumer awareness part over the next few years.
Let me say this way, that ONDC may not be in the forefront. Okay, ONDC has its branding rules, as we call it. So every buyer app has to show ONDC brand prominently, right? So that's where I think that's the optimal place. Otherwise, ONDC can be in the background and may let the systems run. As for consumer understanding of ONDC, there are a few initiatives being done. For instance, we have recently come up with something like a QR code, right? So we have an ONDC QR code now, which any store can develop, get their own ONDC store URL QR code done. And when you scan that, it will potentially open any of the ONDC enabled apps in their respective phones, right? So that is something which is being done. And we, whatever we do, largely it is done by with our network, through our network participants. There are some initiatives we have done in terms of branding at the store level. Apart from this, the usual social media and a lot of media attention has come, which has educated people about it. But more and more, the use case has to be compelling for consumers to buy. And it is more the buyer apps which will be able to drive the traffic through various mechanisms. That's how the ONDC need not be really a brand with the customers. It's a trust brand maybe, but largely it will be the buyer apps which will be the brand, and the consumers will start to relate to transacting with local retailer or getting their finance on a PIN code or a Paytm, etc. Right? So that's how it will be. is my sense.
And yeah, one of it, when you talked about it, I have had a first-hand experience of this QR code wala part. So I went to a supermarket store, and when I completed my transaction there, so that person told me, okay, sir, you can buy our products on ONDC as well. And I didn't tell him anything, but I felt very proud that, yeah, so this revolution is happening in the traditional trade also. Also, in your answer, you talked about trust. So if I talk about again from a consumer point of view, there is a lot of trust that is already there with the traditional e-commerce systems. Like I know for sure we can buy products worth lakhs of rupees from these traditional e-commerce platforms. How ONDC is planning, or how the network participants are planning to bring that trust on the ONDC network also? How you have seen, let's say over the past 2 years, this trust has developed on the network and how it will pan out in future? Because trust will play a really important role, because we are not interacting directly with the seller. So how the platform or the network will generate trust of the consumer?
See, trust is largely earned. It cannot be like, it's not a given. So your consumer has to experience the service and say, okay, fine. And then word of mouth, etc. Spreads the word about trust. One of the key things about ONDC is when you're transacting in most of the platforms I've seen is that suppose you're buying grocery, you're buying from one of the large chains like Spar or Anchor Retail, etc. Right? So that itself is a trust. So you're buying from the retailer on a platform like Paytm. So that trust is there. So you can always reach out to the merchant. Those options are available. We have also introduced something called IGM, which is an end-to-end API-based grievance management system. Right. So if a customer has a problem, they can raise an issue on the buyer app. It can go all the way back to the seller and get resolved. Right? So there are rules and governing all of these things. We also monitor very closely various metrics of, you know, the SLA breaches and whatever in an observability mode. So we don't really have any data passing through ONDC real time, but we work with the seller participants to get that data. So one is that the people you are dealing with, they are trusted players already in the market. That is one big way you get trust from the network. Second is that IGM kind of solution. We also are launching something called Confidex, right? So which is a blockchain-based system, which will enable rating of sellers, buyers, etc. Which will also work towards solving this problem of how do you get customers to trust what is there on the network. Apart from this, one of the things which is very critical in the ONDC ecosystem is that buyer apps, when they show the sellers or the products, they list it as per some criteria. So one of the criteria could be the kind of service or the reputation of that seller, etc. Right? So automatically the bad actors will get weeded out, they'll go down, the good players come up, right? So that's another way to ensure that the consumer gets optimal service. No system is foolproof, it's never like, you know. So there's always there's a grievance mechanism for any mishaps, etc. Right? So that's how I think this is being handled at this point.
So ultimately, what we think, and from your answer, I can conclude that ultimately it will boil down to different network participants, how they are ensuring a good experience for, let's say, a customer or a seller or any participant on the network who is there on the network, be it in any form. So yeah, also.
So let me add, it's a competitive world. Unless our services are as good as what the consumer is already getting used to, you cannot win the game, right? So the goal is to do that, be on par with the market, if not better. So nothing less.
And of course, while you were talking about it, there is one like recent example I remember. So we are dealing with one of the gourmet brands. So what happened was there was one order that came to that brand, and it was like just the first initial days of them getting on board on ONDC. So for that particular order, they were facing some issues with the logistics partner. So what the brand actually did, they had two options. First was find a solution for it to ensure a good customer experience. Second, blame it on the logistic partner. But the brand decided to choose the first option. So what they did, they took the logistics on them. That was not a part of the network, but because the brand was really customer obsessed and they were really concerned about the trust of the customer, it was their first order, trust of the customer and the experience that the customer will be getting. So they took it on them and did the delivery themselves.
I think the ecosystem is mature enough to understand that this is early stage. It's not going to be perfect at this point. Because there are so many different parts to it. there will be some gaps, right?
Yeah.
But I think the existing system, I'm very encouraged by seeing what I'm seeing in the market today.
So Abhi, as I understand from our conversation till now, a lot of great things have happened over the last 2 years of OBDC. Would you like to share any success stories with us, maybe from a brand perspective or any perspective, any success stories that you have seen? You might not want to say the name, but yeah, on a broader level, if you want to share the success stories.
See, I'm seeing like a couple of very good trends, right? So I think it's towards success, and they are important steps towards success. For example, we have seen a very large consumer brand which has helped onboard about 100 stores working with network participants like yourself, right? And they have helped digitize these stores, get them on network. I think that's a success because they, of course, the effort, the cost, etc. was bought by the brand, but that's also showing from that the traditional retailer is being supported by the ecosystem, right? So they are bringing that on board. That's also a success story, not just that, you know, how much of volume sale has happened just yet. That will happen, but these are the first steps and we are seeing very good traction there. The brands are coming forward, bringing the retailers onto the network in partnership with the existing seller MPs. Brands don't want to be MPs, but they come with partnerships with them. So that's one thing we've seen. I'm also seeing great traction, like instance for recently there was a spice brand which came up with a fantastic offer. Okay, it's probably somewhere they are looking at a branding opportunity maybe, etc. But they came up with a good offer and within 4 days they got upward of $10,000, right? Which is a great attraction. And such things are possible today on the network because we also work with the brands, with the sellers, and you know, get the notification done through the buyer MPs, etc., driving sales. So over time, it should become natural behavior for the customer to go and check out the product on one of the buyer apps before, just like they would in any other app. But right now, I think these are some of the top of the mind successes that I can talk about.
This was about the success stories. We also want to talk about the challenges that the ONDC network has faced or different network participants have faced over the last 2 years of ONDC. I'm sure there must be a lot of challenges, and we have personally witnessed some of the challenges and we overcame it together. So if you can highlight a bit of challenges that we as a network overcame in the last 2 years.
So there is always a chicken and egg problem or a bootstrap problem which exists in any scenario, right? So in the first phase, of course, it was getting initial server apps, buyer apps, etc. in place. Logistics, of course, was an area where there were shortcomings, I would say. But today, ONDC's logistics on network, for especially hyperlocal demand, is, I think, terrific. Even I would expect people to use it just standalone as logistics, right? Not just even for their offline sale also, they can use the ONDC logistics. That's possible, right? So I would say the challenge was first phase getting the protocols in place, because there were learnings and, you know, inputs into protocol. For instance, there was something like an update API which came in to solve the problem of latency, right? So those kind of problems were there which were overcome. We have evolved in terms of our protocols from say 1.1 to 1.2 in retail, right? And some of those learnings have helped us in how we frame the next level protocol in another division, maybe, right? So that's one journey and challenge that was faced. The other was that it was always not a very easy concept to understand for many folks, right? Especially how would this work when there is buyer app, seller app, logistics, all different people not being tightly monitored and controlled. But I think largely the unbundling and interoperable concepts are now being seen by people because it's actually working. So that was a challenge of, you know, how to make people understand a concept like ONDC, which is new, first of its kind in the world. Like UPI was first of its kind in the world. So how do you get that across? So I think now we have gone ahead from the stage where people were saying, hey, it can't work, to now, hey, it's working. So how can I benefit from that? So that is how where we stand today. And that's part of the game. So it's all part of it was expected, I would say, at least the leadership somehow knew about this. That's the beauty of it also, that they believe and they knew about it, and it's panning out the way they expected it to be.
Yeah, and I can really relate to your answer from a Bizom perspective as well. So if I talk about my personal experience at Bizom, so 1.5 years back when I used to talk to brands, I was selling a dream. But now when I talk to brands, I sell a plan. So yeah, it's actually working out and brands are also witnessing it. That.
I think the ONDC team has also done a terrific job in terms of engaging with the ecosystem and educating the ecosystem. The social media posts that ONDC has been doing, the partnerships, the events, etc., the collaboration with the government, all of this has really helped spread the word. And there is a dire need for this to happen in a country like India, right? So that's also the underlying factor for why this is gaining so much traction.
And yeah, so yeah, of course it's a long journey ahead, but plans for next 2-3 years, what's on ONDC in the next 2-3 years, what we can expect?
I mean, I'm sure it'll be bigger than whatever we are seeing today. So I don't really want to come in 2-3 years from now, but I do see retail take off in a good way, multiple other categories like mobility doing quite well, and hopefully you will be able to book, say, your ride from A to B, which includes an auto ride from A to X, and then a metro ride from X to Y, and then Y to B, being your last leg, again auto ride from up. So those kind of interoperable things would start happening. Finance would start happening on network, and it should become on par with existing standards of market in the next 1 year or so, is what I would say.
So, Abhi, our audience would love to understand from you that what is the current scale ONDC is operating at? Maybe what are the number of cities we are live in, or the number of products, or the number of sellers that are live on the network? If you can just highlight that.
So, currently ONDC, you can say, is present in, say, there are sellers in about 550 plus cities in the country, right? This would include food, retail, etc. You also have about 3 lakh, almost 3 lakh plus, sellers on the network. Some almost 90 lakh products, right? So that's around the rough number I'm giving. There are also players like Paytm, PinCode, which is done by PhonePe, MagicPin, NoBrokerhood, Ola, etc. on the buyer app side, right? So there is a lot of juice out there. So it's doing quite well.
Also, yeah, from my personal experience, so I would like to share one personal experience here, that whenever I talk to, being a seller network participant currently on the network, whenever from a Bizom perspective, I talk to brands, I talk to sellers, so they usually ask me that what's happening on ONDC currently. So I have, like, previously I used to tell them what's happening on ONDC, but now I have kind of changed my answer and I tell them it's not about what's happening on ONDC, it's about what you can do on ONDC, because there's a lot of scope still, and it's completely on us how we can leverage this network. It's an open network. Do you have any thoughts on this?
I think that's largely true, right? So the rails are there. Okay, it is for brands and sellers, etc., to leverage what's already there. And I've seen two types of brands, ones which are sitting by the side and saying, hey, let me wait till this pans out, whereas there are others who are actively participating. I think the ones who are actively participating are ahead of the curve and will have significant advantage as it goes forward. That's where it is, largely.
So yeah, on that note, we would like to conclude our conversation today. And thank you so much, Abhi, for joining us today. And we are definitely a very proud partner of ONDC in contributing to whatever we can on the ONDC network, the revolution that ONDC is driving. Really proud to be a part of it. And before next time we meet, we have a conversation like this again, we hope that there will be a lot more things to talk about, lot more developments to talk about, lot more progress to talk about, for sure. So thank you so much, Abhi, for joining us. Thank you so much, everyone.